Thank you so much for that, Di. In a slight change to our agenda, Rian has kindly offered to bring us our reading this morning as Brenda has a migraine coming on. So if you are listening, Brenda, I hope you have your eyes closed and we do hope that you'll feel better really quickly. And thank you, Rian.
Okay. So the reading today is from Acts chapter 2, 1 to 13. I think it just moved. That's okay. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much for that, Rian. And Chris is going to talk to us on that passage now. So let's just say a quick prayer for him before he does that. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Chris and we ask you to be with him this morning. We ask you to fill him with your Holy Spirit and give him your word. We ask that you open our hearts and our ears to hear that word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lizette. And thank you, Rian, for reading lots of difficult names there, which you read really wonderfully well. And good morning to all of you. It's lovely to see your faces on the screen. And I'm really looking forward to being able to see you all in person when we gather next week. And normally I'd go into the room next door and find a nice plain backdrop so that it wasn't all this distraction behind me, but we're having some work done there. So not only is my study chaotic, it's even more chaotic than usual with cardboard boxes and all sorts in here from the room next door. But there we go. Sunday we celebrated Pentecost. It's still Pentecost now. It's always Pentecost because we're living in this season full of the Holy Spirit and where we're led by the Holy Spirit. So I just think it's a really exciting moment in the church calendar where we just remember what Jesus put in place. And in the reading we've just heard, we see the disciples doing precisely what Jesus asked them to do. If you go back to Luke 24, Jesus said, wait until you're filled with my Spirit. And there they are in this room waiting. And before the Spirit arrives, there's all these extraordinary things happening. There's this sound like a violent wind. And then there's these things like tongues of fire. And you can see they're writing and trying to work out what it is that's happening here. But there's these things that are just not in their normal everyday. And then they're filled with the Spirit. And out of them come all sorts of other tongues is the what it says in the word. The Greek word behind that is the word glossa, which can mean tongue or language. And it's a really interesting word. It comes up all over the place. And we'll look at it a little bit more as we look at 1 Corinthians 14 in a few minutes. We're going to be focusing particularly on the gift of tongues and what that is Before we do that, I just want to share a moment from my history where I started to become aware of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues. I came to faith in 1986, chose to follow Jesus. I was at my dad had taken me along to a full gospel businessman's breakfast. That was a Pentecostal group. And we were listening to a testimony, and unbeknown to me, everyone in the room was praying for me. So God was clearly on my case. But I went to a whole load of churches at that time. So I lived with my mum, my stepdad. And when I went to see my dad, we'd go on a Saturday to the Full Gospel Businessman's thing, which is a Pentecostal group. Then we'd go to on a Sunday to this really high Anglo-Catholic church that was full of people who spoke in tongues and prophesied and did stuff. And it was like, okay, this is interesting. That's just like the Pentecostal church. They're all full of the Holy Spirit. And when I was back home with my mum, I would go to this Anglican church, which was also full of people who were full of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he thought, okay, there's another opportunity. Well, it's here as well. And then on a Thursday evening, I would go over to Watford and I would join with a group of Catholics who chose to meet in, called the upper room, they called it, to do, they called it charismatic worship. So on Sunday, they'd have mass at the church. And then on Thursday, they'd all be there singing and choruses and things like that, and praying for each other and prophesying and speaking in tongues. And it was in the middle of this charismatic renewal that was sweeping the country. And it just seemed that everywhere I looked and every group of Christians I was present with in these different contexts, they were all just full of the Holy Spirit and doing things like speaking in tongues and praying, prophesying. And so it was just part of life. That was that season. And I think as a church, we've been through different seasons since then. We've been through seasons where it's been harder to see, and we've had to sort of look a bit and think, where's the Holy Spirit at work here? And maybe things like the gift of tongues have just been a bit more muted. And so I share that just to say, it's the gifts of the Holy Spirit are present everywhere we look. And the reason for that is Jesus said, look, when you choose to follow him, he will give us his Holy Spirit to dwell in us. And so every one of us who've made a decision to follow Jesus has the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. And there's so many different gifts. We could look through 1 Corinthians 12, but many other places, and we could find different gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. And so as we start talking about tongues, I just want to make a couple of things really clear. The first is to recognize that historically, at times, the gift of tongues has been given too much attention, and it's been used as this kind of marker of whether you've got received the Holy Spirit. That's not right. You know, when we choose to follow Jesus, that's when we receive the Holy Spirit. The gift of tongues is one gift amongst many, and the Holy Spirit gives us gifts as the Holy Spirit decides. And so I don't want anyone to feel any sense of being less valued because you don't have the gift of tongues. No, that's not a good teaching. And so the right message is, the gift of tongues, it's one gift amongst many. It's a gift that is there, and the Holy Spirit may choose to give that gift. And it's a gift we can ask the Holy Spirit for, and the Holy Spirit might give us that. Now, the other thing I just want to put in turn by way of foundation is, perhaps at other times, the gift of tongues is given too little attention. And because it's a bit different, you know, the disciples in this talk, in what we read here, some people think they're drunk. You know, there was something a bit weird about what was going on here. I imagine a lot of noise, a lot of things that weren't understandable. And so one reaction to that is just to downplay it and just say, well, it has to be only human languages. And that sort of limits it a bit. Or, oh, well, it's a thing just of this time and it's not now. And so we have to carry these sort of tensions and say we mustn't give too much focus and make it the only marker of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And equally, we mustn't downplay it. We've got to recognize that there is something wonderful going on here that is a bit weird, and that's okay. Now, I mentioned that word, glossa, and that's really interesting just to look at in a little bit more detail. If we went ahead into 1 Corinthians 14, Paul goes to quite some length to talk about the gift of tongues. And he talks about the unintelligible nature of the gift, that when someone is speaking in tongues, you can't understand what they're saying. Now, I find that interesting because, again, he's using this word glossa again. And it can mean languages. So it could mean just like the act of speaking English or French or Spanish or Chinese or Japanese or whatever. But equally, it could mean heavenly languages that we don't know here in our reality. It could also mean just simply the tongue that we speak with, as in, you know, just the act of speaking. It's got quite a range of meanings. But clearly, when Paul starts talking about it, he's saying, look, tongues is primarily a gift given for your own relationship with God. In terms of the place of private prayer is the place where tongues is to be used freely. But then he says, look, but it can be used in a public setting, but you've got to be mindful of the fact that tongues is unintelligible. And that indicates some hint towards a heavenly language. Because it's unintelligible, if it is used in a public context, then make sure there's an interpretation. Make sure that it is brought to the gathered people in a way that brings understanding and God's voice can be heard. And so he really clearly makes that distinction. And I wonder if, I think back to those times, particularly meeting with that group of Catholics and they're experiencing this charismatic renewal. And sometimes our worship would just be a whole landscape of sounds as people sang in tongues. And that was a public gathering. But actually, it didn't matter that there wasn't an interpretation there, because there wasn't any sense of it. It was just people worshipping God and being caught in the overflow of their hearts towards God. But at other times, there would be this moment where someone would bring a tongue and we would wait, because we'd say, well, okay, we've read what Paul's written in 1 Corinthians 14. It's important here that we wait. And we would trust that there would be someone there with the gift of interpretation. So those were those places. I think the other place we talked about, the place of private prayer, this doesn't make your prayer any better than someone who hasn't got the gift of tongues. It's just a gift of the Spirit. And so each of us has those times that we spend alone with God. And for some of us, that might include praying in tongues. For other of us, it won't. That makes no difference in terms of the quality of our time with God. So tongues is just one way that we express what the Spirit is doing within us, in the overflow of that toward God. It's a place where we are in control to speak in tongues. We can choose to start speaking in tongues, choose to not, if we have the gift. So it's not something like the Holy Spirit just overtakes us. It's more about the Holy Spirit just expressing a language within us. And it is something that if you have the gift, all of the gifts actually we see, there's, as you go through the New Testament, you see moments where they're being practiced. And by practice, I don't mean tried artificially. What I mean is that people grow in the gifts and their ability to hear the Spirit as they do more of it. And the Holy Spirit leads us into situations where we are given a bit of boldness and we try something. We speak a prophecy. But then the Holy Spirit might give us into different situations. And so this idea of practice is one of just listening and responding to the Holy Spirit. Now, I've said quite a lot about tongues, but I wonder what that means for us today. You know, how does this change our Wednesday morning or our Wednesday afternoon or tomorrow and the week ahead for each of us? Of course, for some of us, you might have received the gift of tongues, and this, I might just be speaking to you things about that you know, and that's great. And just keep using that gift. And if you feel like sharing some of those testimonies, perhaps when we're chatting over coffee, you might want to share some of those how that gift helps you. For others of you, you might say, well, I haven't been given the gift, and I'm absolutely fine with that. I don't feel God wants me to have it. Great. Yeah, that's wonderful. And maybe the Holy Spirit's given you different gifts. But maybe for some of us, there's that sense of this is really intriguing, this gift. And it's something I'd like to have if the Holy Spirit wanted to give it to me. And I think what I'd say to you is, if that's where you find yourself, then it's okay to have a conversation with the Holy Spirit. Remember, we are brought into a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's not, the Holy Spirit isn't just some sort of force or idea or thing that's there. The Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Trinity, and we have relationships. So talk to the Holy Spirit about this gift, about the gift of tongues. Say, look, would it be, you know, just say that you'd love to receive it. And if the Holy Spirit wanted to give it to you, that you're open to receiving it. And there's something there about our, the way that we then move forward in all the gifts. It's that sense of being open to receive whatever it is that the Holy Spirit wants to give us. And I think that is probably the biggest thing I would say in terms of what, how it makes a difference to our Wednesday mornings, afternoons, tomorrow, and so on, is to say, if we come before the Holy Spirit in relationship with an openness to say, I'm ready to receive whatever it is you want me to have, then we know we'll be where the Holy Spirit wants us to be, because the Holy Spirit will be able to give us the gifts. We're ready to receive them. And then we're able to go in this power of the Holy Spirit to do the Holy Spirit's work of proclaiming the kingdom of God, proclaiming Jesus, giving glory to Jesus, and letting people know about the wonder of following Jesus. So let's draw all of this to a close with some prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that when we choose to follow Jesus, you give us your Holy Spirit. Thank you that everything we do in building your kingdom is done in the power of your Holy Spirit. And thank you that you give us the gifts that we need to do all that you ask of us. And Father, I pray specifically as we've been thinking about the gift of tongues, that for anyone here who might just be inquisitive about that gift, I pray you take them on a journey with your Holy Spirit, just to explore not just that gift, the gift of tongues, but all the gifts that you might have for each of us. And as we go on into this week, I might just recognize the presence of your Holy Spirit and have a conversation with you about the gifts that we need to proclaim Jesus to all whom we meet, and in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everyone. I do encourage you, if you've got more questions about this, I'm really open to have conversations about that, either over coffee now or drop me an email and we can talk further.
Thank you so much for that. I'm just going to say that I have in the past felt very uncomfortable with when people around me have had that gift and I'm stood there thinking, nothing, I've got nothing. And I thought, I'm not really sure why I should have. But now you've said that, actually, I'm really comfortable not having that. And I don't know whether it's because I've closed myself off to it or whether I've just not been given it. But whichever way, that's okay. So thank you for that.